So the poem that we heard earlier, Joy Harjo's Perhaps the World Ends Here, is about family, about community that is interestingly centered around the kitchen table. Here people gather to not only eat, but to share connection with the earth through the food that it provides to sustain us, as well as our connections with each other, sharing our experiences, our growing up, our wisdom, our joys, our sorrows. The kitchen table becomes a metaphor for a meaningful life, not just existence, but real living. It seems like in our modern culture, we've lost some of those kitchen table connections. Family style meals don't seem to happen as much anymore. I know it's been a while since I've actually eaten with others around a table in someone's home. I'm usually eating by myself in front of the TV. It feels like there's more separation between people in our culture these days. And I think part of the issue might be technology, of course, which can miraculously bring us together when we're physically separate. It's wonderful that it allows people to come to church when they can't physically be here. But it can also separate us when we are physically together. Just think of the times you've seen groups in a restaurant eating together, but paying more attention to their phones than each other. There's a documentary called Join or Die, which claims that part of our culture's problem with divisiveness and the erosion of democracy is due to the decades-long decline in social engagement. In other words, we've stopped joining bowling leagues and community service organizations like Kiwanis and Lions Club. We've stopped attending church and PTA meetings. We've stopped building relationships and helping people, especially people who are different from us in some way. I believe this increasing lack of community thwarts the human need for meaning and purpose and makes it difficult to meet the physical and emotional and spiritual needs of the people. Instead, we end up with a flourishing American cowboy culture where we're expected to go it alone and worry only about ourselves, to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, which, if you think about it, is impossible to actually do. Lack of community fosters selfishness, destroys compassion and empathy, and divides us, nurturing the growth of things like the fascism that we're seeing in our modern times. But it isn't just a modern problem. It seems to me that our scriptures for today deal with similar issues. In Isaiah 55, the prophet is speaking to the Jewish people as they return from exile. And one can imagine they probably spent a lot of time arguing about how they could rebuild their lives and their nation. It would have been stressful trying to bring people together in order to build something new and good, rather than just all drift off captive to their own personal fears and worries about the future. And Isaiah offers them hope, the hope of community based in the love and compassion of God. He reminds them to focus on what really matters. Why spend money on things that aren't nurturing your life? That don't satisfy anyone, he asks. Why spend money on wars and ballrooms and arches and other narcissistic monuments? Instead, concentrate resources on education, food production, healthcare, caring for the earth, the things that bring real benefits to people. Life isn't just about existing or having the most things when we die. I've officiated at a fair number of funerals now, and not once do I remember talking about the size of the deceased bank account. What leaves an impact on people around us is our character, our mutual experiences, our struggles, and our triumphs. Life is about relationships and sharing ourselves, both the good and the bad. It's not about avoidance or selfishness, but mutually beneficial participation and fulfillment. Isaiah encourages the people to band together for mutual benefit, because that is what God desires for us. A world where the thirsty are free to drink and the hungry have food to eat, no money needed. For Isaiah, this is what life living in covenant with God is meant to look like: helping each other, loving our neighbor. Today, those in power look at people who want to help others and label them socialists, communists, as if compassion and empathy, as if loving our neighbor as Jesus commanded us to do, was something evil to be feared. It's ironic that those who want us to be a Christian nation are often those who criticize socialism, because I believe that if we were a Christian nation, we would have to be a socialist nation as well. The free and generous sharing of resources with those in need is exactly what Isaiah and Jesus tell us to do. Far from evil, Isaiah believes the sharing of resources is what makes a leader among nations, a model for the world, showing everyone what it means to live according to the way of God's love. And it's exactly what Jesus does in the Gospel of Matthew when he refuses to send a hungry crowd away to fend for themselves. I wouldn't have blamed Jesus if he had sent the crowd away. He had been trying to find a place where he and the disciples could rest, but the crowds followed him, refusing to leave them alone. Scripture says Jesus' heart was moved with pity, but an alternative translation of the Greek is that Jesus' guts were seized with compassion. In other words, Jesus had a visceral reaction to this crowd that followed him, that was hungry for his message of love and justice, desperate for the healing that he offered. And so he forgot about his own desire to rest and spent the day teaching and healing the sick. I'm sure he was exhausted by the evening when the disciples suggested sending the crowd away so they might find food. The disciples pointed out that there wasn't enough food to feed everyone, and they were right. There were only 5 loaves of bread and a couple of fish. But Jesus, in his compassion for the people, refused to give in to the fear of scarcity and trusted that there would somehow be enough. He refused to send the crowd away until they had been fed without money, without cost. He asked for God's blessing on what little food they had and then told the disciples to start distributing it. And somehow, from that meager basket of food, we're told that 5,000 families ate as much as they wanted. And then Jesus sent the crowd away to their homes. Maybe it was a miracle. Maybe it was people banding together in community to help each other, each sharing what they had. It makes me think of the wonderful children's story about stone soup, where a hungry stranger with nothing started making soup with a stone and some water. And people were so intrigued by this crazy idea that they each began to contribute something of their own. One person brought a potato, another a carrot, another a piece of beef. And before they knew it, they had an actual delicious soup that everyone could share. Perhaps feeding hungry people was Jesus' only motivation in refusing to send the crowd away. That's certainly enough. But I wonder if Jesus also realized that there's something about eating together that binds us into community. I wonder if he was trying to create those kitchen table connections that Joy Harjo talks about in her poem. The sharing of lives over a meal is perhaps more rare these days than in the past, but it's still important in our lives. When we meet with friends, it's often over food. We go on dates to get to know someone over food. Churches have potluck dinners and picnics together. Food brings us together and creates an opportunity to build deeper relationship. Maybe it's the act of sharing something necessary to life. Maybe food just helps us relax so that we can be more open and vulnerable with each other. Whatever it is, an invitation to a meal is, in a way, an invitation to relationship, to community, to the sharing of lives. In a world that has become so divided, where we are so estranged from each other, often lonely and discouraged, we need to find more ways to share our lives with each other. It doesn't have to be an invitation to a meal. It might be inviting someone to go on a walk or go to the beach. It might be joining a club, volunteering time for a cause. And it's not just about sharing our emotional and spiritual lives, but our physical resources as well. And acting from his compassion to feed a hungry crowd, Jesus also challenges us to do the same. It's a call to action to build community by helping those in need. Like Jesus, perhaps we need to stop thinking that there isn't enough. We hear that all the time from politicians who constantly claim there isn't enough money for healthcare or for education, but then turn around and seem to have no problem finding money for wars and lining their own pockets. And we fall into thinking that there isn't enough as well, that scarcity thinking trap. We might think, we're a small church, there aren't enough people, there isn't enough time, there isn't enough energy, there isn't enough money. Like Jesus, perhaps we need to trust in the abundance of life. That there is enough in the world to help people in need, to nurture people's lives through education and healthcare and making sure everyone has enough to eat. There is enough to reach out and invite others to be in community with us. There is enough in our lives to share. Sharing of ourselves, our lives, experiences, our highs and lows, our money, our time. Sharing all of that with others creates community, community that brings us together, that sustains us and heals us. As we move forward in this life, may we all be blessed with a few more kitchen table connections in our lives. Amen.